Let us turn again to the part of God's word read in Matthew chapter 1. And let us read again and consider, as the Lord will be pleased to enable us, the words you will find in verse 21, the 21st verse of the first chapter of Matthew. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The inspired word of God begins in Genesis with an account of the formation, the creation of Adam, the head of the race of man. And not only the first man formed, but the one who represented the race before God, and who, having disobeyed God and taken of the forbidden fruit against a distinct command of God, he fell from the estate wherein he was created by sinning against God. And we fell in him. We became inheritors of sin, inheritors of the punishment for sin, which is death. So in the Old Testament, the beginning begins with the first man in whom we fell. In the New Testament, the beginning of the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. That's the first sentence in the first chapter of the first book in the New Testament, the beginning of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. As we fell in Adam, first recounted in the Old Testament, Genesis, so salvation is through the one who is spoken of here, the Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And as all sin is traceable back to the fall of Adam, so all righteousness and all grace and all power and every single sinner saved in heaven itself is directly and immediately traceable back to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. As in Adam all fell, so in Christ are all made alive. Second matter we would draw your attention to by way of introduction is the good order that is perceived in the generations of men since the creation of the world. We have the different generations spoken of here. So-and-so begat so-and-so, that person begat someone else, and so on. And the royal line of Jesus is traced very faithfully down to his birth, conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and his being born of her. And it says there, verse 17, at the end of this list, genealogical list, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon, 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Jesus are 14 generations. Now all the confusion that rules and reigns among the children of men because of sin in this world, and all the distraught state of the children of man, there is an order. There is a good order. There is a pattern followed. There is an order kept because God is a God of order. As he brought the world into being in order, one day, then another day, then another day, until The days of creation were finished, and he rested on the seventh day. So it is as far as the entire history of man is concerned. There is a good order being kept. Whether man can see it or not, whether man is concerned to see it or not, the hand of God is in this world, upholding all things by the word of his power. And the great matter is the salvation of a people that no man can number, and that salvation effected by the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. These are the thoughts, he is saying, that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Three matters here. First, he, that is Jesus, that is the child born. There is that which is entirely contrary to the wisdom of man here. You're talking of a child, talking of an infant, as we have it faithfully described in the Word of God, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, born in a stable in Bethlehem, born of Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost. This child shall save his people from their sins. There is the power of God and the devices of God and the good order of God in every step of salvation. And we have it here in the person and work of Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Secondly, here a people mentioned, his people. His people. Whatever family name we have, we are of that people. Wherever sin sets, raises its head, like Satan in the Garden of Eden, we are of that people, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is another people, and that those people are the people of Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. We ought to pray every day, in rising from our beds in the morning and laying down our heads at night, that we would be found among them. Because there's just the one set of people to whom peace may be established. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. He shall save his people from their sins. No comfort for sinners out of Christ. None of those who are the world's people, the beginning, the middle, and the end, the horizon of their souls, the horizon of this present evil world, the feet upon which, their feet set upon the things of this world, their eyes set upon the rewards of this world, people of this world. But here are the people of Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. A few words in the third place upon that matter of salvation. He shall save them. He shall save them. Sin has such a grip of us. It has so permeated our hearts that we don't even desire salvation. It is like a man coming to a prison and setting the doors open and taking the chains from off the prisoners and saying, there you are, doors open, there's fresh air and liberty outside. But they say, no, I like my prison. I like where I am. I'm going to stay. That's the power of sin. And that is what Jesus saves his people from. This people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. A few words concerning the one spoken of here. He shall save his people from, he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save. The word Jesus is the Greek form of the word Joshua. And as you will readily remember, Joshua was a commander in the Old Testament. He was first of all under Moses. And under Moses, he was one of the spies sent into the Promised Land to spy out the land and come with a report. And his name, first of all, was Joshua, which means salvation. But Moses, it would appear, after Joshua returned with a good report, himself and Caleb came back with a good report from the land of Canaan. It is a beautiful land. Let us go in and possess the land. Other 10 said, no, we cannot go in and possess that land. The men of that land are too big for us. The walls that surround the cities are too high for us. We cannot go in. Let us turn back to Egypt. Joshua and Caleb pled with the people. It speaks of Joshua when he heard what they were saying and deciding that he rent his clothes to show how deeply disturbed he was. What? In the very borders of the Promised Land, to turn back from the promise that God had given to Abraham, a land flowing with milk and honey, and to turn back to Egypt, which had the mark of sin and Satan upon it from beginning to end. Having travelled all that way through the wilderness to turn back in unbelief, Joshua had faith. The Lord will enable us to overcome. The walls are too high for us, but they're not too high for him. He is infinitely above any walls built around the cities of Canaan. And as for the men, very well, they are giants in the land. And we are like grasshoppers at their feet. But before God, they are but men, made of flesh and blood. And none is able to stand before God. Therefore, let us enter in. But they said, no, 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 we will not. We will return. We will tramp over the wilderness again to get back to Egypt. You see the power of unbelief. You see the blinding nature of unbelief. You see what ignorant fools unbelief makes of us. We ought to pray every day to be delivered from an unbelieving heart. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That was Joshua, and it's about this time that Moses, it is thought that Moses changed his name or added to his name. He had salvation in his name, Joshua, but he put God before it, Joshua, Hebrew word for God before it. So it is God will save. Very well, Joshua was a courageous soldier and a skillful general, as was proved in the event. He had already proved himself when they were fighting the Amalekites, and Moses was up in the hilltop praying for them and lifting up his rod to heaven. And when Moses' rod was held up to heaven, then Joshua and his men prevailed. When from weariness Moses' hands fell, then the Amalekites prevailed. Joshua was fighting the battles of the Lord. He was a skillful warrior, but he would have to be God who would bring salvation. He would have to be Joshua, not only the aspiration of salvation, not only the desire for salvation, but God in it, and through it, and under it, and prevailing by it. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The God-man, Christ Jesus. That was the name. That's how the name arose. And he shall send and save. He was born of Mary by a miracle of the Spirit of God. We have the three-in-one God here in the matter of salvation. Such a great and glorious matter. It's acquiring such power, such authority, such a word of power, such a word of authority. Requiring such wisdom. The wisdom of the three-in-one God. When Adam was formed, we read that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, and that they said, "Let us make Adam." Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were in the formation of Adam. And he is fearfully and wonderfully made. A soul that will never die. A body that will yet fall into the grave, and dust will return unto dust, but not forever. It's not an end. Not an end. The resurrection will come. That same body will form again in a different way, but still the same body. We know not what we shall be, but we know when we shall see him, we shall be like him. That's what Paul, that was Paul's hope. A wonderful beginning. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, make man. Now we have the New Testament Adam, the one through whom is salvation. And there is the three-in-one God here also. Spirit forming the body of Christ in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Christ himself, Jesus himself, being the second person of the Godhead and taking that body to himself by a conscious thought in the mind of the second person of the Godhead, by a conscious choice, by a divine choice and an eternal desire. His delights being among the children of men. He takes that which was formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary to himself. To himself. So that when he is born, he is both Emmanuel, God with us, and he is Jesus who shall save his people from their sin. God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Why, if man himself is a great and profound mystery, the dust of the earth forming the body and the breath from heaven forming the soul, what a infinitely greater mystery we have here in the forming of Jesus of Nazareth. On the one hand, the substance of the Virgin Mary, and on the other hand, the second person of the Godhead himself, God infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, being born of the Virgin Mary. Receiving that name, he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save. sin must be a great matter in the eyes of heaven. The power of sin must be a great matter among the children of man. The love of God towards his people must be a great matter. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That this would have to be true in order for the salvation of one sinner, or the taking away of one sin, that the God-man Christ Jesus must be born into this world. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As Joshua was thus given his full name, Joshua, God shall save. And he, in the fullness of time, after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and all that generation apart from Joshua and Caleb died in the wilderness, they come again to the borders of the promised land. Now they enter in. Moses has been taken away into the better country above, and by the Lord. And Joshua, God shall save. God himself shall save. He leads them into the promised land. And leading them, he gains victory over the enemies. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Joshua, the New Testament commander and leader of his people. The name's significant. These Old Testament names were very significant. Abraham was called the father of the faithful. He was given that name again in the latter part of his life here. He was Abram to begin with, then he became Abraham. And the Lord took him outside his tent door at night and said, look up to the skies and see. Can you number the stars? And Abram couldn't anymore number all of the stars, and we can. And the Lord said that he would give him a people who would be as many as the stars in the sky for multitude, or the grains of sand on the seashore, innumerable. So he's called Abraham, the father of the faithful. How many are there among the faithful? They're the same group as we are spoken of here. He shall save his people from their sins. It's the name we're talking about at the moment, Abram, the father of the faithful. Noah's name was very significant. He shall be give his godly father, gave him that name by inspiration from the Spirit of God, a name of rest. He was to live through a time of unrest, profound unrest. The whole generation of men turned against God and turned against each other, and the earth was in turmoil and violence and wickedness and lies and stealing and murder and so on. And Noah was to be the one in whom was rest. That's how it is with Jesus. Sinners going down the broad road, but the one name among men in the earth by which salvation is brought is the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive sins. Though it was to be a source of rest, as we know, he built the ark, he preached righteousness for many, many years And that generation, having no appetite for salvation and seeing no need of a judgment, of being delivered from a judgment to come, because they didn't believe in the judgment to come any more than they believed in the necessity of the ark. And so they perished in their ignorance and willful ignorance and sin. But Noah entered in, survived the flood. The ark was brought to rest. Noah comes out of the ark, offers a sacrifice with one of the clean animals he had in the ark to God, and God smells the savor of rest. Reconciliation, that's what it means. Peace between God and man. Great peace of thee that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There was rest. The names were very significant to the Old Testament. One other example, and that is Moses. Moses was born again in troublous times. The children of Israel were captives in Egypt. The king who had admired Joseph was long dead. The Pharaoh that ruled had no love for the children of Israel, but rather a purpose of death and murder. And the orders had gone out, whenever a male is born among the children of Israel, they are to die. And Moses was born into that very time and poisonous atmosphere. But his parents were good, people. They had faith in God. They must have received a message saying, this child will be a deliverer. By him there will be deliverance. And so he is kept at home, and when they couldn't keep him safely any longer, they put him into a little crib or boat and put it in among the reeds in the Nile as a way of hiding him from the authorities. And his sister Miriam was to keep an eye on the matter. And you remember how the princess came to wash in the Nile and heard the cry of the child. The child is brought. The princess wishes to preserve this child and takes him into her home. And Moses is brought up as a prince in the house of Pharaoh. But he receives his name from this. The name was drawn out. That's what Moses means, drawn out. He was drawn out of the Nile, a place of danger, into the bosom of this family in Pharaoh, in the house of Pharaoh. He's drawn out. And that is what happened. He was drawn out of trouble. When other males among the Hebrews were at risk of death immediately on birth, he was drawn out of that trouble by the Lord ruling and overruling. And that is the significance of the names that we have in the Old Testament. And we have this carried forward into the name of Jesus. He shall be called Jesus. God will overcome. God will get the victory. That's written over all that Jesus did and all that he offers to sinners. God will overcome. It's the same name, it's the same power, it's the same God. It is in the same terms that Christ has offered to sinners. God will overcome. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We have, our bookshops are full of plans to make a success of your life. Use your potential, they say. This is how to unleash the potential in your own life, your abilities, and how to put to one side failings or weaknesses you might have. This is the way to do it. As far as sin and salvation is concerned, there is but one name and one scheme from heaven itself. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save, God shall save his people from their sins. We have secondly here his people. And that is the people of God. That is a reflection, first and foremost, of the wisdom of God in eternity. Sin and the fall into sin was of such a profound and desperate nature. Just as we read and were singing and reading in Psalm 40, he took me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay. The clear implication is the desperate nature of the fallen soul of man, and the fact that man himself couldn't get himself out of the pit, however hard he would try in his own strength. But the Lord took him from the fearful pit. That's the beginning of the psalm. That's the beginning of all hope and blessing as far as the sinner is concerned. He took me from the fearful pit. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save. He shall save his people from their sin. And that is true of all his people, that he shall save them. So the first promise of the seed of the woman in the Garden of Eden, as you remember, when the Lord called Adam and Eve to give an account of what they had done in taking the forbidden fruit, he also pronounced that sentence of death passing upon all men for all have sinned, and he gave them hope. For he said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. The seed may be spoken of as individual seed, when it represents the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It is seen also as many seeds, when it represents his people. So in the very first promise, the very before they are out of the Garden of Eden, and before the angel, the cherubim, is set with the fiery sword turning every way, preventing their coming to the tree of life, we have a fair representation of this name. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. The name and the people, and the people and the name come together. Just as the first promise said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Is that many or is it one? It's both. Because the seed were in the first seed, because the people of God are in Christ. This is the basis and ground for all hope against sin in this world. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. As it was in the Garden of Eden, the beginning of days, the unfolding of the plan of salvation, so it is here when Christ is born at Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, born of the Virgin Mary. That without sin, that which is born of thee shall be called holy. Holy. His people are bound up with him. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The seed and the seeds. Christ and his people, Jesus and his people, Joshua and the children of Israel. Moses and the people of Israel. Abraham and his seed. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see the good order of God of order, the God of all grace, the Father of all mercies. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You again remember Abraham and his people, his seed. They were all of his seed. Every star that was in the sky was of his seed. It was the number he had. We find that in the New Testament, kept in memory by the Lord himself. You remember the history of that poor woman who was bowed over and could not straighten herself for many years under the power of Satan. And Jesus, finding her, cured her of it, dismissed the spirit and cured her of it. And he said, "This is a daughter of Abraham. This is a daughter of Abraham." In other words, the promises that related to Abraham way back in the Old Testament, the stars of the sky relating to Abraham, that's your seed, Abraham. That's the number of it. Now, here is a daughter of Abraham. And as Abraham walked with God and Abram trusted in him, and Abram received promises. "I am thy shield, Abram, and thy exceeding great reward." Here is a daughter of Abram. He is one with this, not only after the flesh, not only that she could look to Abram as her great, 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 great grandfather, but spiritually she was one with Abram. Faith in the same Saviour. Rejoicing in the same truth, desiring holiness, seeking the face of God, his people. He shall save his people. Noah, the one who was going to bring rest in the midst of disturbance and trouble and ending in rebellion, the spirit of rebellion, which ended in the flood and the whole generation taken away, he was going to be the one who had the name of rest. The fullness of time, the door of the ark still being open, he entered in. His family entered in. They all of them entered in the ark. No one else wanted to enter in through that open door. None of the rest believed the flood was coming or judgment was coming or God took any notice of what happened in the earth. "We'll do our own thing," they said. And so they did. And so they drowned. But Noah and his family, they're all numbered, 8, entered the ark, saved. And peace with God and reconciliation with heaven. And a time of peace and a promise in the rainbow given to them. Promise of the covenant secure, the peace of a covenant, a peaceful covenant. "These are the thoughts that I think toward you, those thoughts that are in the rainbow. These are the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. Summer and winter will follow. Clouds may gather, but there'll be no flood." That's the promise. Reinforced with the rainbow in the heavens. Noah and rest, that was his name. And that was the rest that was assured to him. And all of those who were with him in the ark, they all of them entered in. And in the fullness of time, they came out again. And they carried on the race of the human race under the rainbow, symbol of the covenant. rest. So that the rest which name Noah had was experienced by his family. He'd saved in the ark. Moses is drawn out of the water, drawn out of a time of trouble, kept by the power of God. And in the fullness of time, God meets with him in the desert when he's out herding his sheep and says to Moses, the time has come for the children of Israel to be brought out of the land of Egypt and the time of oppression and difficulty that they are in, threat of Pharaoh and the taskmasters and the jobs they are asked to do, which are almost beyond their strength, and the slavery they endure. It's time for them to be delivered. And Moses goes, and as it was with Moses, drawn out, so the whole of the children of Israel were drawn out of the land of Egypt, out from under the power and authority of Pharaoh, out from under the power and authority of their taskmasters and the miserable life they had of it in Egypt. Their cries sent up to heaven, but day by day their tasks increased, no hope in the horizon. But Moses came, his name was drawn out, they were drawn out too. They were led to the Red Sea, through the Red Sea by the miracle of God in opening up the Red Sea. The Red Sea, which was their deliverance, was the great punishment visited upon Pharaoh and his men. They all of them drowned in the Red Sea. They are set at liberty. They are drawn out. Moses was drawn out. They are drawn out. Here is the name of Jesus. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The great mark of his people, they are a people drawn out because he drew them out. That's the name he bears, and that's the name he puts upon his people. They all of them say, he took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Oh, the blessedness of the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Finally, here, the third matter, and that is, he shall save his people from their sins. Well, this is a subject which the Word of God begins, but there's no end to it. For eye has not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. That's for his people. What God had prepared for those that love him. There's a beginning of it, and that is that they are saved by Jesus. They are a purchased people. Christ bought them. Just as used to be when a person wished a servant or a slave, he could go down to the marketplace and he could buy the slave. The slave ceased to be under the previous owner and now became his because he was bought. Some good people would go down and buy the person and tell them they were now free. Price had been paid. The other person involved was satisfied. The slave was now free. Christ bought his people. Ye are not your own. Paul says, ye are bought with a price. And the price was Calvary. Place of a skull, the place was a place of death. Remember that first indication of the offence of sin, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was spoken to the first Adam. That was reinforced by God when Adam and Eve stood before him. That's been reinforced by the innumerable graves that have been dug in this world since that very time. Thou shalt surely die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's been reinforced and filled out innumerable times by the evils of this present world. Who would have thought there were so many evils in the human heart, as are written large upon the history of this world. How far sin has brought us. We talk about civilization. Talk about, these were different times. They weren't different times at all. It's the same heart. It's the same sin. It's the same fall. It's the same mark of the God of this world within the heart of man. And it's the same need of the same Saviour. He shall be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Ye are bought with a price. Ye are not your own. They're Jesus' people. Jesus' men, Jesus' women, Jesus' boys, Jesus' girls. The mark of faith, the mark of trust. Trust in the Lord forever, in the Lord Jehovah's everlasting strength. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Their sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for them. That's the summary of it. He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against them. They had nothing to say against that handwriting of ordinances. It was all true. It was all true. They were sinners. They had sinned. They were subject to the law of God. They were condemned to death. It was true. He took the handwriting of ordinances. He took it out of the way. And he nailed it to his tree. Could we put the gospel more plainly? Some people say we don't understand. What are you talking about? Could the Spirit put it more plainly? He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Every one of them crying out for the death penalty. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. He took it out of the way, and he nailed it to his tree. That is, he suffered that penalty himself. He died that they might live. He was bound by these cruel nails to the accursed tree, that they might be set free, that they might enter into the liberty with which Christ has set his people free. He bound, they set free. He bearing the curse, that they might be the Lord's people. That they might be his. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. He shall save, he saves them from the power of sin, that they might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, so that Joseph in the Old Testament could say to his temptress, how can I do this great sin and sin against God? See what trouble sinning against God brought into the world. A whole race fallen. Generation after generation demonstrates, can I sin against God, do this great sin and sin against God? just because I'm away from my family and my father and brothers and so on, and in a heathen land, the eye of God is still upon me. He saves them from their sin. Saves them from eternal death. That's the promise. That's God's promise. We wouldn't be able to believe it unless it was God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever, Jesus, who said it. And Jesus, who did that great work on Calvary, that he would pass through the darkness, the outer darkness, and the inner darkness. Why hast thou forsaken me, O my God? And the outer darkness, it was the hour, it was the power of the God of this world. How distasteful. That great commentator, John Owen, says that of all the trouble that Christ passed through in order to save his people, the greatest was that their sins were laid upon him. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this Holy One, this one who is holy from birth, that holy thing that is born of you, that Jesus, that Christ, that Emmanuel, had the sins of his people laid upon him, holiness and sin. How could they dwell in the same place? How could darkness and light be together? It's beyond comprehension. We cannot understand it. We can understand the cry of pain, distress, heart pain, heart distress, that the Saviour cried out under that burden. All the unholy deeds, the unholy wishes, the worldly desires of his people laid upon Jesus. Their hell deservedness laid upon Jesus. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, my friend, you are to seek that Jesus for yourself. You are to accept him. And you are to embrace him. And you are to rejoice in him. And you are to say, even so come, Lord Jesus. It's a divine Saviour my sins need. My uncertain walk and talk and conversation in this world requires a divine Saviour. The crimson nature of my sins require a divine offering. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. Eternal and ever blessed one, look down upon us in mercy. Take away our sins, and may we have that faith in our hearts in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that we might say with another, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I should be whole. Take us to our homes in safety. Come out with us in the evening. Pardon our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.